Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Comic Movie Universe on the Divine Thoughts channel. I'm your host, Terry, and of course, this is the CMU. So on today's episode, we're going to be reviewing this new Suicide Squad trailer that we just got and talking a little bit about some other stuff. So let's just get right into that. So looking at the leak slash release, we got this trailer on Tuesday night, which was a part of a DC special that aired on the CW TV. Now, of course, the CW is home to most of the DC TV series, such as The Flash and The Arrow. So coming after The Flash, we had a featurette that got us ready for Legends of Tomorrow, their new TV show, which is coming out Thursday. But then we also have a featurette called Dawn of the Justice League. So as you know, that's a play on words of Dawn of Justice, the new Batman vs. Superman movie. And this was basically a way to introduce the DCU, or at least the roadmap that they plan on using to create the DCU. And this included talking about Batman vs. Superman, showing some new footage, but then spinning off of that, talking about Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad, and then just the rest of the Justice League, which, of course, is a big thing. But anyway, it ended with a new never-before-seen trailer for Suicide Squad. So this was a regular controlled release, the way, well, I wouldn't say regular. Most studios drop it online or whatever, but this was a special release where it was put, you know, on primetime TV. So the very opposite of a leak. But if you've been following, the first look we got at Suicide Squad was the Comic-Con trailer, and that was the direct result of a leak version that fans saw, and then DC had to put it out. So this time around, they got it right. They kept it under lock, and they delivered it to us during national TV. All right, so with that being said, if you didn't watch the DC featurette, I would probably watch it because I'm going to talk about it later. But also, it was very good, so it really played into it. Anyway, so that is how this trailer came about to us. And then, of course, it was released by Warner Brothers on YouTube later that night. So let's talk about the trailer. As always, it's playing in background and everything like that. The trailer, I'll summarize for real quick, gave us a little more, it was more of a lineup trailer. So the last trailer was kind of just, you know, shots, visuals, kind of setting the tone a little bit. But this trailer really was more focused on pushing out the names and what they do. So this was really, I think, catered to the casual fan that doesn't know the Suicide Squad. And a lot of comic fans don't really know too much about all of the Suicide Squad. So this was really a trailer that was kind of, you know, setting the plate, to sort of speak, let you know real quick who these people are for the most part, but giving you some great visuals as well. Now, okay, I think a lot of this was just not random, but they were a lot of out-of-place shots and scenes. You know, it was really a fun trailer. It wasn't a tell-you-the-story trailer or give-you-an-arc-type trailer. It was just like, here's the people, here's what we're doing with them, and here's the goofy stuff they did. So it gets you excited. So with that being said, in a nutshell, it's impossible to skip over the fact of what this trailer really was, and that was a high-tempo, action-packed trailer set to this music. Now, I want to rewind back real quick to the first trailer. It was so dark, and if you listen to my episode, if you haven't listened to it, please, but I talked about it, and I talked about how I couldn't even watch it that many times. It was just so creepy. It was so just, you know, and then ending with the Joker, it really made it like icing on the cake type creepy, and it was like, man, you know, DC already has the knock that it's so dark and serious and all that. And I don't think there's a problem with it. I think every movie has its place. Every tone has its place if you do it right. But that was the knock with DC. And so that trailer kind of fell in line with that. The first trailer fell in line with the whole dark thing, but a lot of fans liked it. A lot of fans felt like these are villains. That's what we should be getting. So this came out, and it was completely different. So it was fun. And so you notice quickly how big a difference music makes in the trailer, because you saw a few of the same things that you saw in the first trailer, but, you know, of course, the music that was set to the trailer, it completely changed the mood of it. And I think that's, well, I'll get into it later, but anyway, this trailer was a fun one where it showed you some of the comedy, you know, some of the dialogue, but it put it to this music and it showed you, like, these villains are bad, but they're not walk around, I'm just want to destroy the world type bad. You know, these are like crooks for the most part. You know, they can be bargained and reasoned with, not excluding Joker, of course, and you see how he kind of stands away from the Suicide Squad. But the guys on the squad are people that can be bargained with. And so when you kind of let them out in the world, they're going to do some dumb stuff. And it's just like, okay, we're going to be bad. We're going to have fun being bad. And that's what we really saw with this trailer, I feel like. So it was definitely fun. My first initial reaction, I went nuts. I was like, this, because if it was just a straight, you know, I don't even, The Dark Knight was dark for the most part. It was pretty smart, but I think that's the darkest superhero movie you could go to. If it was straight, like, Dark Knight, serious, gritty, I would have liked it. But I think putting in the comedy that you put in, it makes more sense for these characters and, you know, the fun that they're having. So that's all good. So anyway, that was my initial reaction. I'm just, oh my, I'm losing it. Honestly, so let's get into the good and bad. So with the good, I'll say the first thing that popped out to me was actually someone that we were kind of worried about coming into this movie, or other people were, and that's Jai Courtney. And I haven't really seen his movies, but from what everybody says, he's horrible. So this looks like it might be his first good movie, because he popped out, like, it was quick, but it's like, I've seen, like, clips of him, like, some stuff, and it's like he's trying to do drama or serious, and he's not. He probably doesn't have the acting ability to do it. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But that's what it seems like is the problem with him. This, he's animated. Boomerang, he's just really, you know, he's a feisty little dude. So it looked like it fits him a lot more. It felt good to see him being super animated. And then, like, the best part of this trailer for me, like, the one that's memorable, was when they cut open the bag and it's Jai Courtney's Boomerang and he pops out and the first thing he does is punch somebody. And I'm like, that's hilarious, but it's also so indicative of what these villains are and what Captain Boomerang is. Like, he's an Australian dude that's just, he's a villain, but he's like, he's just a criminal. He's a fighter, he's a scrapper, and all that good stuff. So I love that. That part sticks out to me more than anything in this trailer, which if you've seen it, you're like, what? But yes. And then, of course, probably one of the money shots, and I would say spoiler alert, but of course, we're reviewing the trailer. If you didn't see it, don't feel spoiled. But of course, for me, the money shot of this trailer, like, you got the music pumping, all this action is happening, then it slows down, goes quiet, you see Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang, like, backing up behind the car, cracking open the beer drink. It was so funny. Like, I don't know if it's perfectly timed like that in the movie. Of course, we have to see it in context, but in the trailer, it was perfectly timed. And I'm just like, man, Jai Courtney had two of the money shots for me. So the guy that I was kind of anxious to see how he would deliver, he was actually one of the best parts of it for me. So, but it was a lot of good stuff. Of course, you know, I said overall, just the way it was put together, that's amazing. But kind of talking about what's in the movie, that was good. We saw more Joker, and he really seems like he's going to be a scene stealer. And I can't wait to see Jared Leto's Joker. He's growing on me more and more as I see him in action. Some of the other, I mean, it's a lot of good parts, and it's hard to separate the trailer, the way they put it together, to what's actually in the movie, and that's what I'm trying to do, because as a trailer, there's a lot of great stuff. But in the movie, I think seeing Deadshot, Will Smith's Deadshot, he looks great in action. Like, I like the stuff with there in jail and everything, but, you know, he's got the mask, which was different, the white mask with the, you know, the eye thing. But then he also has shots where he just has the eye thing on his eye and he's shooting and he doesn't have the mask on. Will Smith looks great. Of course, he's a black Deadshot, which is different from the comics, but I think he looks great. Like, of course, it's Will Smith, so some people feel like, and you always feel like, at least for me, that a big actor or actress will take you out of the movie because it's just, you know, they're too big for this role. But with Will Smith, for the most part, you get lost into it. And I think this is a good. Now, if he was like Captain Boomerang or something, maybe. Or if he was a Joker, of course. But I think this is a good character that's not known enough and has a good story to the point Will Smith is really going to do it. Because Deadshot's background is, like I said previously in episodes, his basic story is he's an assassin doing what he does to get back to his daughter. And keep her safe and, you know, give her the life where they'll be safe. So Will Smith with the father role is always gold. So maybe not After Earth, I didn't see it, but I heard it before. But he's gold with the father role, so I think it's a perfect one for him. I'm still waiting on Croc. I like the way he looks, but I have to kind of see like how they handle the height. Like, to me, it doesn't matter. It matters, but it's not a big deal that he's not, you know, 8 feet tall. But I just like to see how they handle it, if they have any special explanation, or if he grows in the water or something. I don't know, but we'll see. Yeah, everybody looks good for the most part. So, a lot of good stuff in the trailer. A lot of stuff that I suspected. So, doing some of the theories when I first talked about Suicide Squad and reviewing the first trailer we got and all that, I talked about some of the stuff I was expecting and everything like that. And one of the things that I see I was right about, I was right that this, in the first trailer, we saw like a scene with Rick Flag, and he's talking to a woman, and we only saw the back of her head, or like the side, and some people thought it was Margot Robbie as or Dr. Harlan Quinn, whatever her name is. But I swear, I think it's Cara Delevingne who's playing Enchantress, and it ends up, it was her. And as he's talking, he's going through the lineup. He's like, this one burns people, this one eats people. And he's like, oh, and you're possessed by a witch. So he's talking to the girl behind him, which is Cara Delevingne, of course, because she's going to be Enchantress. So it's not her. She is possessed. There's a spirit in her or whatever. And, they're working together, so she's somehow involved with the Argus military before whatever happens to her. And of course, he says it nonchalantly, like, oh, yeah, you're possessed by a witch, so apparently she has it under control. A lot of people thought, and I don't want to say a lot, it was one of my theories, but other people did think that Enchantress was the actual villain that they were chasing after. Like, she was regular, got her powers, and then got out of control. It still could be that kind of case, but it does seem like Argus knows about her being Enchantress. So we still haven't really seen her with the Suicide Squad, and that's why I kind of jumped on that theory too. And even with this trailer, we didn't see her with the Suicide Squad. So it might be not as black and white as that, but it definitely seems like it'd be possible that she's someone that's chasing. And since I'm on that rant, I might as well go ahead with the Joker also. My other thought was like, this would be a lot like Assault on Arkham, the animated movie. And if you see that, please go see it. So it basically sets Joker up in a Hannibal Lecter role where he's locked up. And I'm thinking all the stuff we've seen is in the past. I still, even though we saw a lot more Joker, I still feel like all that stuff is in the past. Trailers can be misleading. Like I said, the music could quickly change the tone, what you choose to show, and how you show it. We all know recently, with all these trailers coming out, how they can be deceiving. You could show, like, 10 quick scenes of Joker, and you're just like, man, so much Joker. And in the movie, he's only in there for, like, 2 minutes because you only got quick seconds of it in the trailer. But he was so much in the trailer, like, man, he's in the movie that lot, and he ends up not being. But I still think, even though we saw all this Joker stuff, I still think it's in the past. And so if they come in contact with the Joker, the Suicide Squad, I think it's going to be on the basis of him being in jail, just kind of like he was in Assault on Arkham. And they're, like, asking him for either favors or, like, information, or they just go straight Assault on Arkham, and Harley Quinn just breaks him out at the end, and then he tries to do something bad, or that's how they end it, which kind of leads into the next Batman movie or whatever. So a lot of different ways they can do it. I'm getting off on a tangent, but I was going to say I still don't know if it's confirmed, or it was confirmed previously that this movie takes place a year before Batman vs. Superman. I don't know if that has been changed yet. If it hasn't, then I think it makes sense that this movie ends with Harley Quinn escaping the Suicide Squad, breaking out the Joker, and then that leads into Batman vs. Superman, because we saw Batman with the "you let your family die" whole thing. And so it would make sense in that timeline. But anyway, that's other speculation. So some of the stuff I didn't like, and honestly, just a lot of things after watching it a few times, a lot of things that concerned me. Now, the thing that concerned me before and still does that I got confirmed is Margot Robbie's delivery of Harley Quinn. And I said it from the first one, even though she had like one or two speaking roles, that real quick, I'm like, I don't like her voice. I thought it was going to be the DC animated original Harley Quinn type. And I told myself, you know, if it's not that, but it's, you know, something that she does her own, as long as it fits, I can go with it. But listening to her, it doesn't fit to me really. Like, it fits her, but it doesn't fit Harley Quinn, which makes her not fit Harley Quinn as a whole. And, like, yes, she has the look, but it just, I don't know. There's something about that original Harley Quinn voice and a certain way you perceive her that if it doesn't come off that way, it seems a little different. So it's tough. And they did say, once, this is random again, it's not a bad thing. They did say that she's going to change outfits, like, you know, 5 to 6, 7 times in the movie. And we still haven't seen her in anything but that short shorts and jacket thing. And we saw her, like, dressed as a professor. But so we might see at the end the original Harley Quinn costume, maybe it'll feel a little different, I don't know. But for right now, that just hearing her in a lot more speaking roles in this trailer, it kind of confirmed what I thought. I'm like, that doesn't really rock my boat. Some of the other stuff I didn't like. I don't really like, and this is kind of, so if you watch the trailer close enough, you'll see that there's like some big villain that we weren't talking about before, and we can't tell who it is. And they did it on purpose, so they're not giving it away. But whatever it is, the CG looks bad. And some of the CG for, like, whatever the minions they are, they look like they got tar on their faces, and their faces are just big, black, whatever. I don't know what they are. I have no idea who the villain is, but the CG and the costumes look kind of bad. Now, we are quite a long way out, and so when you get teasers and first trailers of this nature, the effects aren't done, and they have room to change them, or they might not be finished. So that's one positive about that. But as of right now, I just feel like whatever the big villain is, and I know a lot of, you can barely tell unless you really pause it, because you know me, I watch it in slow motion. and after a while, whatever. And you, unless you're really looking, you don't see this stuff. But I think just by the time they're ready to reveal all that, I hope it's, you know, put together better. Because some of that CG and the costumes look kind of bad. Another bad thing, I feel like this movie is really missing Tom Hardy. Joel Kinnaman is a great actor. I loved him in RoboCop. I already knew losing Hardy would be tough, but I didn't think they would miss him that bad because Rick Flagg is just kind of a dude. He's not like a villain. He's not a superpower. He's the one that's kind of the leader of the squad from the government side. So I'm like, man, yeah, of course Tom Hardy could have delivered it, but Joel Kinnaman, I just, the way he's talking, I don't know, it doesn't. Tom Hardy would have elevated it. It would have been a lot better with Tom Hardy. That's all I could really say. And that's kind of my negative. I think they were missing Tom Hardy on this. I don't know. Like, again, these trailers can be deceiving, so we'll see what the tone is of the actual movie. But I feel like it definitely could have been better with Tom Hardy. So I don't have too many negatives. It was just nitpicking. We just really got to see what the movie is once it comes out, but those are some things. All right, so moving on to the reaction and the results. So this came out a little less than 24 hours ago. Right now we're like, actually, are we over 24 hours? It came out around 10-something last night. So it's at 11, right around 11.7 million views. That is an incredible amount of views, especially under 24 hours. But with these latest ones, we've been getting that, and they kind of taper off. But we'll see if this continues that trend 2 days, 3 days out. But right now, that's a huge trend, almost 12 million in 24 hours on the dot. And a lot of fans, it's mostly what you thought. It's fans saying some of them like it, and some of them think it's like, oh, that's amazing. Some of them are like, okay, this is horrible. You got those fans. But for the most part, I think it's more positive than anything. I know a couple fans myself that aren't necessarily DC fans, but they're like, oh, man, okay, that was good stuff. I'm ready to see this now. And the overwhelming, before this trailer, with the old trailer, the overwhelming sentiment has been, I'm more excited for this than Batman vs. Superman. I heard that even when the best Batman vs. Superman trailer came out, I heard that. And now that the spoiler trailer came out and people are saying they hate that trailer, of course a lot more people are saying, I want to see Suicide Squad more than I want to see Batman vs. Superman. So that's the popular thing to say right now. But you got to realize, kind of, they're not like two halves of each other, but they're in the same, you know, area. It's all in the same meal. So, yeah, you might not like one as much as you like the other, but it's definitely all part of the same dish. So you could be excited for one more than another, that's fine, but you kind of are missing out if you don't take in both movies. But, yeah, so that's kind of the popular statement. I'm looking forward to this more. Second popular statement, which can't be escaped, is they're ripping off Marvel of Guardians of the Galaxy, a group of people we don't know, and they're putting old music to it, or older, you know, classic music to it. Okay, so first of all, we don't know that. The music for Guardians of the Galaxy played an integral part. That came out years ago. I don't think I need to do spoiler warning, but I'm not going to spoil it. So if you've seen the movie, that music plays a part in the movie. We don't know if that's like that in this movie. Not to mention, so that was kind of, they just gave us the music. It set the tone, made you feel good with the trailer and Guardians of the Galaxy and all that. In this, it was clearly the trailer was designed to the music. It was kind of, it was actually in line with what DC's been doing. Because the quote-unquote spoiler trailer for Batman vs. Superman was the same way, where they cut the trailer to the music. Now, that was classical, dramatic music, but this was, you know, a classic rock song. but they cut the trailer to the beat of that music, and it was meshed together so perfectly. It was meant to deliver a certain message to you. Now, I'm not saying Guardians wasn't the same way, but it wasn't intertwined the same way. It was more like, here's a preview of the music and stuff you're going to get in the movie. I don't think necessarily you're going to get that in this movie. As I said, trailers can be deceiving. I really think that this is it's trying to set a little bit of the tone, but I think the movie is going to have creepy parts, serious, you know, serious villain stuff going on, but there are going to be fun parts. So it's telling you, you know, it's a mix of both. But I can understand with all these bright purple, green lights or whatever, the posters, the trailer, all this light, everything was like just bland red and gray the first time. Now it's all these green lights. Now, of course, that is more Joker. All this electric, lime green and purple and stuff, that's Joker-ish. But they're hitting you with all these lights. They're hitting you with this music. And so some people are like, yep, they're ripping off Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, of course, those tend to be more Marvel fanboys. But other fans do feel like that. Not ripping it off, but it's very close. Because you have an unknown property of group. And so you're giving it to us kind of the same way Marvel gave us the group of people who are unknown. Difference being, these are villains. That's the big thing. We've talked about it before. These are villains, so we're going to get some we have not seen before. And I think this trailer is really just blow the doors down. Look, we're here. This is going to be something you're not used to type of trailer. And that's really what it did, so I don't have a problem with that. But again, it's about half and half. People don't like Harley Quinn. They're agreeing with me, but those are purists that, like, it has to be exactly like this. I don't think it has to be exactly one way. I just think certain ways fit her. I think if you were going to do it differently, there are ways you could have did it that fit her. I just don't happen to think the way Margot Robbie is doing it fits Harley Quinn. Some people are agreeing, but they're more so just like, I want the original Harley Quinn. That's not the original Harley Quinn, so it's wrong. That's one way to look at it. You have your opinion, but I think that's just a little blind. I think it's a little more than that. I have a lot more leeway, but I just think the way they chose or she chose to do it doesn't fit. But a lot of fans are on the train of they don't like Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Now, of course, Jared Leto's Joker has been split from the beginning. Nothing has changed. If anything, it's got more outrageous now that we see him in action. So people are kind of down the middle on that. But people are watching. People have taken notice. It's probably going to hit big at the Super Bowl again for the next national push because, I mean, CW, the premiere, it was not national, but it was prime time. But national broadcast for Super Bowl, I think, is their next target. So everybody is going to know about this. But it is buzzing all over the internet. People are talking about this trailer, mainly because of how it was made with the music and everything, and it was just so fun. It was in your face, and it was just, you know, it was crazy. So that's enough with the trailer. So a little bit of other news going on. So, of course, like I talked about earlier, the DC special had other stuff besides Suicide Squad. And just touching on what I thought about it real quick, I honestly thought at the beginning it was a bad idea to do. I thought it was bad marketing. I thought that DC, with their recent decisions, were really trying to panic and catch up to Marvel. And a lot of people said that before. It's like, they're trying to catch up to Marvel. I'm like, no, they're not. They're smart. They're not dumb enough to think they can catch up in one or two movies. They understand the time it takes. And some people call me a DC fanboy at times, and I guess that's one of the times you could have labeled me one. But I would have defended Marvel the same way. I really think these people were smarter than that. But then, so that started with the spoiler BVS trailer. And then you heard some of the comments from Snyder talking about why they did that. But then you see all this promotion, and I'm like, you know what? they are kind of panicking. And I'm like, they're showing us a lot of, so what I mean by panicking is, instead of teasing you, showing you the tone a little bit, and thinking, or not thinking, but believing that the fans will come to the theaters and watch the movie, they're trying to show you too much. Because they're like, oh no, we're not getting the buzz we need or we want, or we're not as good as Marvel, let's show them stuff. And so I'm like, this is just another problem. They're going to do this TV show. They're going to show too much of the Wonder Woman movie that just started shooting, like, what, last month? And nothing's going to look right. I'm like, Suicide Squad, they're going to show us too much behind the scenes of that instead of just leaving it a mystery. And they're going to ruin this Justice League. So I'm like, that was the problem, one of the problems people had with the trailer, BVS. You're showing us the Trinity, Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, and it's like, okay, we don't need to talk about Justice League right now. Let's just talk about Batman fighting Superman. And then you come out the special Dawn of the Justice League. It's like, okay, so now you're going to talk about it even more, and you're really going to lose fans. So I thought it was a terrible idea. So I watched it, of course, for the fans. I was planning on not watching it. I was like, I don't want to get spoiled, but I do want to see the trailer. But for the fans, of course, we got to do that. Or I got to watch it and, you know, get my opinion just, you know, to keep things consistent. So I watched it, and I was really impressed. I thought it was done well. I thought, I don't want to pronounce his name wrong, but Johns or something like that, the writer, we all know who I'm talking about if you follow this stuff. He did it, and Kevin Smith, who's a big fan nerd. He's a fan nerd. I don't know. But he's a director. He played Silent Bob. So they were the hosts, and they kind of just went through, you know, quickly, you know, what the landscape was. Batman vs. Superman, man. Wonder Woman's movie, man. Suicide Squad, man. What Justice League, who's in it, and what are the thoughts? We heard from all the actors that were playing each person. We finally heard from Ray Fisher, who's playing Cyborg. Ezra Miller, so finally, I've seen interviews, but first time hearing him live talk about The Flash. First time seeing Jason Momoa in a while. Shoot, we even saw Amy Adams, who's playing Lois Lane. So we saw a lot of people talking live about their characters, and they really set the landscape. I think they did a great job of not showing too much. They showed us a little bit of graphic concept art with Wonder Woman. They did end up showing us behind-the-scenes footage, but the thing is, the quality was amazing. That's mainly what I want to talk about. The quality of that was so good, and I'll get more into that later, but Gal Gadot is really winning me over as Wonder Woman just from that special, and that's a big thing. Because up until this point, she's been a big question mark. So watching her in action in her own movie, in her full gear, seeing her fight, what the action scenes look like, which was important, that won me over. Now, even with the stuff they showed us and all the stuff we've seen before, she still has yet to deliver dialogue. So that still is a question for me, but for them to make this movie, I've already said they have to be confident in her. But then to see it is another thing. Like, it looks good. And it's nice. I think one thing about Suicide Squad is real nice, and that about this Wonder Woman, is not Zack Snyder. That's not saying he's a bad director, but it's different. His style is very noticeable. You understand it's Zack Snyder's style. Seeing different directors, seeing a different style, kind of gives you a fresh taste. And so that's why they do it with Star Wars and Marvel. They get different directors for different movies. It's not one person directing all the movies. It gives you a different taste. The Wonder Woman movie looks very interesting. And it's cool. Like, I really doubted the decision to make it over different time periods and then in the old days. I'm like, oh, that, ugh. And then seeing the pictures of that from the set photo of her, like, in the old, whatever decade she's wearing like the big dress or whatever, or like whatever she's wearing. You know, sometimes she got glasses, the hat on, and the big conservative clothes. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be bad. But then you see her as Wonder Woman, And that's a very modern take on Wonder Woman, a very warrior take on Wonder Woman. But it's set in the old days. She stands out so much, and it looks so great visually. So DC completely won me over on Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman just from this special. And a lot of other stuff we saw was really good, too. So, and they didn't show anything behind the scenes of Suicide Squad. They kind of talked about it with some people, but they didn't show too much. They didn't show too much of Justice League, and then they gave us the trailer. So I thought the special was a huge hit, mostly because of the Suicide Squad trailer. But I thought it was a huge, huge win for DC. All right, so quickly, lastly, this came out today earlier. Star Wars Episode 8, the release date was announced from Disney, and originally it was scheduled for May 2017. It is now being pushed back to December 2017. So I wanted to throw this out there because I think people are going to not panic, but they're going to read too much into this than it actually is. Where they're just like, oh, man, they pushed Star Wars back, something's going on. You know, because it's always a movie moving backwards is always synonymous with trouble. Same thing with Batman vs. Superman. It was supposed to come out in the 2015, or not in, but in 2015. Got pushed in 2016 and got pushed again. And so people just automatically, well, there's problems. And people do that with a lot of movies, and sometimes that is the case, sometimes it's not always the case. So I think a lot of people are going to jump on that with all types of theories. I think it's as simple as they want to go back to the spot where they made money. Star Wars got pushed back to December 2017, right around the time where it came out. I mean, I forgot the date, but the dates are really close. But the month itself is right where it came out this year, December 2015, technically. So, and it made huge money because that's a dead area of movies. You got holiday movies, but that's really it. And then you go into January, February was not a lot of big movies. So it's a dead area in the movies, and they said, hey, we got the hype already. We saw how much money we made. So let's just go back to that date and get some more money. I think it's that simple. So, I just wanted to touch on that real quick. I think Star Wars Episode 8 is still rolling like it's supposed to, and they just wanted to, you know, kind of, just like Episode 7 capitalized on nostalgia of the old movies, I think Episode 8 is like, let's capitalize on nostalgia of Force Awakens. Like, remember when that December when you came to watch this movie, let's do it again. So, anyway, that's all the news for today. If you like what you heard, please hit the follow button. Log on Facebook, Twitter. Leave a comment, feedback, question, whatever it is you want. If you like what you heard, you want to see me more live and visual, you can check me out on YouTube at The Canon. That is The Canon Vlog. So that is a YouTube show that I'm doing now on superhero stuff. And you can catch me on there. This has been the Comic Movie Universe on Divine Thoughts Channel, a.k.a. the CMU. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Terry. Bye.